G-79, ICA headquarters, Buenos Aires, Argentina.
It's okay, Leisha said, seeking to reassure Tara just as much as Dan while she was confronted by the undeniably frightening sight of her brother-in-law being involuntarily immobilized. Dan relaxed in a very literal physical sense, but the sensation of being held in place against his will was once again the most unsettling he had ever experienced. Leisha proceeded to hold his hand out, palm downwards, with his two wide finger-like divisions separated and his overlong thumb wiggling all the while, then slowly moved it downwards through the air.
There is no need to vomit, Dan, he said.
Although Leisha clearly meant well, and although the stillness of most of Dan's muscles was this time punctuated by some odd feelings in his stomach and throat, seemingly a result of the anti-vomiting gesture Leisha was performing with his hand, the closest thing to genuine post-traumatic stress Dan had ever encountered made him momentarily wish for the ground to swallow him up. The realness of his harrowing memories was quite literally unbelievable, to the extent that they didn't feel like memories at all. If he had been in any state of mind capable of abstract thought, Dan would have wondered how this was even possible. Instead, he truly and completely felt as though he was back in New Kerguelen's outpost. He truly and completely felt as though he had just been immobilized once more by Sacco rather than by Leisha, and out of blistering rage rather than an innocent desire to help. Tears escaped his eyes as he relived those moments all over again, when it had seemed as though he and Billy would never be allowed to leave, and thus when it felt like he would never get to see Piper or Emma again. Sacco's misplaced rage was quickly forgiven once Dan's willingness to sacrifice himself for his daughter's well-being convinced the alien that he was a good and true being, despite the way the architects had referred to humanity as an untrustworthy and aggressive race. But those memories were so faint in the present moment as to be effectively non-existent. All Dan could feel was the preceding helplessness of his immobilization at Sacco's hand, an event he was physiologically reliving rather than merely remembering, and Leisha looked and sounded far too much like Sacco for his attempts at reassuring Dan to do any good. Dan didn't hear the words and didn't see the friendly expression. All he heard was the alien voice in his head, and all he saw was the inhuman face attached to the body that was telekinetically holding his own in place with a disturbing effortlessness. Tara, initially scared to move in case she found out that she was too immobilized, rushed over to Dan when she saw the tears falling from his eyes. His inability to move meant that his expression hadn't reflected any fear, while for one reason or another, he hadn't sent any coherent thoughts whatsoever to her by way of the telepathy patches they were both wearing. She figured that he should have been able to do so, since his retelling of the events in the outpost involved him pleading his case to Sacco in just that manner. Unless he's not able to consciously send out his thoughts while he's immobilized, she considered, realizing that the messengers could remotely pick up human thoughts without the need for any physical aids, whereas one patchwearer could only hear thoughts that were deliberately sent their way by another. Maybe that part of his brain or something in his neck can't fire the signal. The details were unclear, but Tara felt like the gist made sense. She knew Leisha had meant well by stopping Dan from vomiting, but the scene before her was the strongest indication in a long time that the messengers were anything but experts in judging how humans would respond to their actions. In the same way Leisha had thought he was helping by literally and publicly eviscerating an already restrained assailant rather than leaving him for the police to deal with, he now clearly thought that immobilizing Dan was an inconsequential action, vastly preferable to leaving him to stress vomit into the waste paper basket. Only now that the tears were flowing did Leisha begin to sense his error. He still didn't move, however, evidently having to see through to the end the ongoing hand gestures that were harmlessly but decisively manipulating the muscles in and around Dan's stomach. With Leisha clearly doing something important with his hand, Tara considered it decidedly unwise to potentially get in the way by making any physical contact with Dan. Instead, she just stood near him and spoke to him in the gentlest and calmest voice she could muster.
This'll all be over in a minute,
and we'll be sitting at the kitchen table with Emma and Piper and Clark another minute after that, okay? I'm here with you, Dan. I'm here.
Dan's eyes, whose muscles were yet again the only ones he was able to consciously control, finally looked away from Leisha and settled on Tara. His entire being seemed to settle at once as his eyes fell upon her, a constant source of light in his life and genuinely one of the most beautiful people, inside and out, he had ever been fortunate enough to encounter. An unusual and altogether uncommon warmth flooded through Dan, in a manner he could never recall experiencing at any point in his life. He loved Tara like she was his own sister, and had liked her even in their early days when she was still modeling and was unbearably abrasive to most, and his rekindled awareness of her very presence brought him back into the moment. He wasn't in the outpost. He was in Buenos Aires. His situation wasn't helpless. It was merely tremendously uncomfortable. The death of his intense fear created room in Dan's focus for reflection of this, and his entire being calmed somewhat.
Almost done, Leisha said, still slowly lowering his hand as he walked towards his human friend in preparation to catch his weight when he removed the spell-like hold he had placed upon his entire body. Sure enough, a few moments later, Dan's legs buckled, and Leisha reached out to prevent a needless and painful fall. Tara exhaled deeply.
Okay, now we can get on with—
What the hell was that about? Dan snapped at Leisha, interrupting words from Tara that apparently hadn't even registered in his adrenaline-filled and perspective-lacking mind. He pushed himself upright and leaned into Leisha. Moments after feeling something that he would be comfortable terming post-traumatic stress, Dan's mind had now flitted to its third remarkably intense emotion in rapid succession. First had come the blood-curdling fear, followed by an almost overwhelming appreciation of what Tara meant to him. Now, entirely unlike him, Dan felt something akin to burning rage towards an alien for whom he usually held nothing but positive feelings. If tripolar had been a word, it would have been the right one to describe the state Leisha's decision to immobilize Dan without warning had left him in. Leisha flinched, taken aback by Dan's aggressive tone and even more so the accompanying posture.
I was only assisting you with—
I didn't ask for your assistance with anything except taking me home, Dan yelled, looming down on the slightly shorter alien. The office was entirely soundproof, which was at least one thing Tara didn't have to worry about, but Dan's extremely uncharacteristic stance was making her feel sufficiently uncomfortable that she knew it must have been unsettling Leisha, too.
Step back,
Leisha calmly requested.
You can't just do shit like that, Dan said. My heart doesn't know that you were trying to help. The blood pounding in my forehead doesn't know. You could have literally given me a heart attack, Leisha.
With these words, Dan put his hands on the alien's shoulder in a manner that didn't look overly aggressive from where Tara was standing, more like a frustrated friend gently shaking some sense into another than someone doing anything that could reasonably be described as violent. But she was in a clearer state of mind than Dan, and it was one that left her consciously concerned that Leisha might lack these nuanced distinctions between shakes and pushes, frustration and rage. Indeed, proving her all too right, Leisha very suddenly raised his own hand and stretched it out in front of Dan's chest. With no need for physical contact, he sent Dan flying across the room like a ball of scrunched up paper. As Dan hit the wall and slouched to the ground, Leisha walked intently towards him.
I said, step back.